This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Lucas, when is Bonte calling? What's he doing?
After our next commercial break.
Oh, way to promote the commercial break.
Yeah,
that was great.
Boy.
Yeah.
Stay tuned, though, folks. There's probably a Dibber live read in there you're not going to want to miss.
Oh, baby. Is it like about a garage door or is it about your belly?
I was in need of a closer.
Okay.
And it could be about a number of different things.
I know it is.
Your boy's busy during the break. Very busy, Mark.
I've seen your endorsement list.
Yeah, it's a nice one.
Dude, it's kind of surprising you don't, like, run down to the street during commercials and open up a trench coat.
I might.
Yeah,
sell a watch.
Who needs a watch?
Yeah, talk about be decent. Yeah, Warriors basketball. Just be decent.
Just be decent.
And last night they were very indecent, shooting 23.7% from three. You lose. When you go 9 of 38, you're pretty much going to lose all those games.
Exactly. And that's not a catch-all. That's not the end of the analysis by any stretch. But anyway, what's bugging you? What is frustrating you? What's bothering you about Warrior basketball? 888-957-9570. Our buddy Bonte will join us here in just about 10 minutes. 408 just texted in. Just tuning in, Willard, your picks stink.
Mm.
Butler over PRA.
Yeah.
It's true. I parlayed that with Wiggins under and went 1-for-2. And when you go 1-for-2 on a parlay, you lose.
Yeah, your pick was closer than mine, which was Draymond Green over, I think, 21.5 points, rebounds, and assists. He barely got the double digits. 5-3.
It's tough, man.
I do.
It's tough, yeah. I comboed three of them last night. Jimmy's higher, Andrew's lower. And then the guy who is my actual underdog life hack, I'll give you this one.
Oh, I should know this.
You'll know this.
Because you,
I guarantee you, Grandy, you'll know it.
It's the dunk guy.
I know, too.
Who is it?
Jalen Duren?
Jalen Duren.
I thought it was the guy in the dunk contest.
No, but he dunks a lot.
Yeah.
For the Pistons. No, Mac McClung?
No, the other guy that you love.
Stephon Castle.
Thank you, Castle.
He's my secondary hack.
Okay.
But Jalen Duren is my absolute go-to. He, for the Detroit Pistons, I just go through there on a given night and I decide which numbers pop into me. Is it either points, is it rebounds, or is it the combo of the two? And I look at the opponent, and I try to think this out, and I'm telling you, Jalen has been nothing short of about 85% for me.
Did you go points last night?
Last night I went higher than 13.5
oh
points.
Oh, my God. He had 14.
And he had 14.
Come on. Only four rebounds.
Yeah.
Seven assists, though, for Duren.
He is an interesting player.
Well, they're a fascinating team.
And they're leaning on him more offensively. They're getting into a little bit more of a drive and dish thing with Cade Cunningham, some lobs. He's an interesting player. So anyway, I came up one short. Yes, Jimmy Butler, he cost me buckets last night.
Yeah, it's a shame.
Because I had Andrew on the lower, I had Jalen on the higher, and I had Butler on the higher, and Butler was a big loser. So 408, you're correct. My pick stunk. Yes.
Well, that's the way it goes sometimes. And honestly, you look at that spot, and Jimmy kind of telegraphed it with, you know, doesn't matter. You don't know my emotions. You don't know how I feel. You know, I don't got nothing to say to nobody and the rest of it. It all seemed to me like he was trying to diffuse and maybe diminish the moment. And I thought, too, that he would come out and really be motivated. No, Steph, you're back in Miami. I thought he'd be really driven to show people.
Well, let's hear a little bit from Jimmy, okay, on it, quote, being just another game.
I mean, we're all good. We didn't win. Yeah, I don't think we played this type of basketball that we wanted to play that we talked about playing at the same time. But like I said, it's another one. So it didn't go in the win column, went in the loss column. But it's like any other time under Amita, we got to bounce back because we can't let this thing spiral out of control. We got to go into New Orleans, and they've been playing incredibly well, and get that one. Definitely got to get that one.
Has New Orleans been playing incredibly well? Is that true?
I don't recall.
I'm that up.
I don't think so. I mean,
they beat Minnesota that one time.
They did. They did beat Minnesota that one time. New Orleans has won two of their last seven games. So they are. They're playing incredibly well.
It's all relative, Mark.
Yeah, they beat Philadelphia two nights ago by 13. They did get that win in Minnesota. Other than that, they lost at Detroit. They lost at Minnesota. They lost at home to Detroit. They lost at San Antonio. And they lost at home to Orlando. They're on fire.
Yeah. I mean,
watch out for the Pelicans.
I mean, Zion might go for 30 and 15. We'll see.
If he plays.
Yeah. He's been playing.
Some.
Yeah. And this
has he?
I believe so. Last I looked, he had a monster game in one of those recent victories.
Let me go Zion's game log.
He was great in their win against Minnesota.
And he hasn't played since.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, no.
It's not played.
Oh, no.
He's not played in the last three games.
Four. It's a four for your goal.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right. He plays very.
Oh, no.
He hasn't had a game. Zion Williamson has not scored fewer than 20 points since February 25th. The problem is he's only played in 9 games. He also sits out a bunch of the games.
Yeah. I will give any of you $100 if you can name the Pelicans' leading scorer in their last game.
Oh, well, it wouldn't have been, I would have said McCollum, because everybody's hurt, right? What's his name just went down. So Zion's been out, and DeJounte Murray's been out for a long time.
Yeah, he missed the whole year.
I'm looking at the box score, and then, I don't even know if I could pronounce it correctly.
Yeah,
I don't know if I can win the 100, even though I'm cheating.
A bunch of letters.
Karlo Matkovic. Metkovic?
I don't know.
He cheated. That is the answer, though.
Yeah.
He's a Bosnian Croat.
You can't be a Bosnian Croat. You're either Bosnia or you're from Croatia.
He's a Bosnian Croat professional basketball player for the New Orleans Pelicans.
He could have dual citizenship.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Or maybe he was born right on the border. One leg on each side.
He chose Croatia, though.
I got him listed as Bosnia and Herzegovina as his country.
Remember when it used to be Herzegovina and then it changed?
I remember when it was Yugoslavia, and then they went to war with each other.
Yes.
So
that's when I.
That's
what is going on here?
So, yeah, look out for Carlo. Look out for Carlo on
Randy,
Friday.
A little history, yeah.
Beware.
Well, the only thing about that game, and I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves because we got a couple shows until they play, but this is a classic Draymond Green going to try DPOY game. If Zion plays, Draymond's going to actually try.
What if Zion doesn't play?
Then Draymond might take a powder. He might take the day off.
No, he's not.
He needs a rest.
They need a win.
He is playing like a tired basketball player. He even said, oh, we're exhausted. We're all exhausted this time of year. And like last night, he looked tired. In the last five or six games, he looks tired.
They all look tired.
TJD doesn't look tired.
This is why on Tuesday I was frustrated with Steph Curry and getting an emotional rest day, because I don't understand how they're both going to be overwhelmed by exhaustion and able to do what we're all hoping for them to do. That's why. And all we've gotten since then, like a very, very nice effort by the whole, all the role players. They hit a bunch of threes and they beat Milwaukee. And then here's what we've gotten since then. We've gotten a, oops, that was way too close win against the Raptors, and a thud on the ground for Steph Curry, and then two complete dog road games that they've lost. That's what we've gotten since then. They all look tired. Everybody's allowed to be tired, but you, like, if you're going to succeed in the playoffs, you can't actually go out on the court and look like that.
Yeah, I would
he
say...
He was the one who said, you got to find a way, right?
Yeah, and he's not finding a way. And Gee doesn't look tired, and Moses doesn't look tired, and Pods doesn't look tired. The younger guys, I think, and I'm not saying they all played well and hard last night, because they all were pretty much bad. Gee was, as Grandy pointed out, Gee in limited minutes looked pretty good. I thought Kuminga off the bench was fine. Pods had a better second half, but yeah. Your older players who are more likely to be fatigued, you can't be fatigued. You got 10 games left, and honestly, Mark, to get the sixth seed, I think you need no fewer than 7 of the last 10. If you win 7 of them, you get to 48. 48 might be enough, pending tiebreakers, pending other outcomes. 7-3, to me, is the baseline for you get to 6. Anything less than that, I don't think you get it.
You want my overstated prediction?
Do it.
Okay. If the Warriors lose Friday night, they're going to end up in the play-in.
Yeah, I won't disagree with that.
That's how I feel right now. If they lose Friday night, you ain't getting the 6.
Yeah, well,
that's how I feel.
And I think it plays with what I'm saying, because if you're going to go 7-3 over the final 10, the next two are absolutely wins.
I want to see what the Clippers do in a game like tonight. This is an interesting one for them. They're at Madison Square Garden in a game that tips in 20 minutes. But right now, my gut tells me that if they lose Friday night, they're going play-in tournament.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Bonta is going to weigh in on what's going on with the Dubs here next. We're sponsored by Crystal Geyser Alpine Spring Water. Willard and Dibs, you're going to be just like the Warriors. You're going to come out flat with your focus in the wrong place.
Okay. Wow.
You are.
First of all, I'm worried about you.
What you worried about me for?
About what you got going on.
What do I got going on? What do I have going on?
I don't want to say it, but you know what's going on. And I got a lot going on.
Yeah, this guy... You and your brackets. Mm. You and your scatter. Like all
it's the system.
Dude, like I understand that, but you're going to be at Splash, and there are going to be tournament games literally happening feet from you.
Only one, though.
Well, right, at that given time.
Right, so last Thursday I would have been a huge problem.
Right,
forget the inebriation sensation that I was enjoying in Vegas, but the games tomorrow, oh, they are simultaneous, right? Oh, yeah. Two games.
Inside. Todd Golden. St. Mary's, USF. Todd Golden is coaching the Florida Gators against Joe Smith's Maryland Terps. And then Calipari's Razorbacks against Texas Tech in the second game. The Sweet 16 is at Chase Center tomorrow. We'll be at Splash. Big day tomorrow. ChaseCenter.com/events for your tickets. And right there at Thrive City, we'll be right across from where Bonte Hill does all of his action, but he won't be doing it tomorrow because the Warriors get another day off tomorrow. Just what they need. More time in party cities around America to see if they can get their minds right.
That's quite a trio, by the way, to go Atlanta, Miami, New Orleans.
Dude.
Those are like three of the partiest cities in the association.
Just for fun, on the River Islands guest line, as Bonte now joins us, Shaq threw that out on TNT last night. And I know it was Shaq, and so maybe he's just joking, but he's like, this is too much. It's too much. 5 nights in Miami, and that has bothered their focus. Bonte, do you buy that, or is this just that the chef wasn't playing?
Listen, if it was Bonte Hill of Southeast Miami, I'd buy it, right? Focus. I mean, Atlanta, you got the Limit Pepper Lose. In Atlanta, we know about the Limit Pepper Lose. Dibley knows all about them. Then you go to Miami. But no, this was a revenge game for Jimmy Butler. So I don't buy the notion at all they have South Beach legs. Oh, they've been out partying. We know the drill, but they've all talked saying, hey, we're here for Jimmy. We're here to support Jimmy. We're trying to win. So Steph flying down. Hey, I'm here to support Jimmy. So I don't buy the notion. Now, it is crazy that they're in South Beach for 5 days. I would have got the hell out of town last night. But then New Orleans is that much better. You know what I'm saying? Bourbon Street, you can get lost in the sauce down there. So I don't buy the notion that, hey, we've been in South Beach, Miami for too long. No, you had a basketball game to play. It was a pretty big one for Jimmy Butler, even though he downplayed it, and he got smacked. Move on. Don't make excuses. You got outplayed and outcoached last night.
And it turns out the revenge game was Miami. Maybe it was the slow-mo revenge game, the way he and Wiggins came out and outplayed Jimmy Butler. But the notion, Bonte, of them coming out and being a little bit flat and not ready to go, it seemed like it's been a trend of late. You fell behind Atlanta big. What are you seeing in these first quarters? Is it just slow starts, or is it maybe a reshuffling of the lineup that's needed?
Well, you forgot to mention Alec Burks, right? They didn't want you, Alec Burks. He was here during 15-win season. He went off yesterday in the starting lineup. No, the slow starts are alarming because Mully always says this. It's a first-quarter league. You got to come out and get a good start, get a good pace. And the last three nights, this goes back to Toronto last Thursday. Toronto shot 57% from the floor in that game. Outscored the Warriors by 28 in the paint. Scotty Barnes lived in the paint. So they got comfortable. Atlanta went crazy, and Atlanta's had one of the better offenses since February 1st. They're averaging like 117 per game. They're like top five in all these offensive categories. That's all they do is play offense, but they don't play any defense. Yet the Warriors allowed them to score 40 in the first quarter and shoot 65%. So this is on the starters. Last night, the starters in the first half did score 10 points. You got 10 points from your starters in the first half. That's unacceptable. For the game, they score 38, while Miami Heat starters go for 88. And that's not including Andrew Wiggins, who went 4-13 from the floor. So this is on the big boys. Last night, it's on the big boys to set the tone, just like in Atlanta without Stephen Curry. And I'm looking at Draymond Green. I'm looking at Jimmy Butler. They struggled. Well, Jimmy Butler last night really struggled. But Draymond on this road trip so far, he wants to DPOY. The film from the last two nights is not going to get it done.
Bonte Hill, who is still on 95.7 The Game, catch him at 9 a.m. with Spadoni and Shasky every Friday, and then obviously anchoring the pregame and postgame coverage on NBC Sports Bay Area. Bonte, let's go back to something that was commonplace when you did still have an everyday radio show on 95.7 The Game, and that is the panic meter. Where is your panic meter?
Marky, you set that up like I got fired or something, man. You guys are just giving me a bone.
Hey, I don't know how it all went down, man. I ain't in your business.
All I know is I don't hear you in the mornings anymore.
No, you hear Joe Spadoni, right? I'm thinking to myself, what am I doing taking my daughter to school right now? I should be in the studio downtown panicking over the Warriors. No, there's no panic meter. However, I do think we got a little ahead of ourselves during this winning streak. Because how many teams did they play that wasn't at full strength? Now, I'll give the Warriors credit. You control how you play. You control what you control, which is how you play and how you produce. And they look good. They look like a fine humming basketball team that was going to be a dangerous team in the Western Conference. But last night was alarming because I saw the size and speed of Miami. And they just lost 10 games in a row. And the one thing about Jimmy Butler, although he's great at getting to the free throw line last night, just one free throw attempt, you put a bigger body on Jimmy Butler, then that negates his low post ability to finish at the rim to get to the free throw line. So then you suffocate Stephen Curry, and so you need these other guys to start shooting, right? So I'm not going to panic yet because they just played two games without Stephen Curry. And we know, if you didn't know, that this whole thing revolves around number 30, Stephen Curry. So once he comes back, which hopefully will be Friday against the Pelicans, things, I think, will go back to normal. However, the schedule does beef up. They have Memphis and the Lakers. And what's crazy is they finish this road trip. And, oh, wait, road trip's over. But we got to fly back home and play Denver the next night. And Denver has owned them the last three regular seasons. So I'm not going to panic quite yet. I'm going to wait until the playoffs. But if they do fall out of that top six and you got to get into a play-in scenario, that can be a little tricky, a little dicey. So I'm not going to panic yet. Believe it or not, I've grown up. There's no panic meter right now, Willard.
Yeah, I get that, Bonte, and there's no need to panic because you can still make it out of the play-in and there's things you could still do. But one of the things that's troubling me is as I look deeper down the roster and think about the role players, and Moses has been so good, and last night he really wasn't. And beyond that, I'm seeing a team that kind of lacks depth and experience at the depth spots. Do you think that that's something that could ultimately rear its head when you're going to have to play a lot of these 22-year-olds big minutes?
Yeah, and they haven't been really through the fryer yet, right? I mean, Paz hasn't been in the playoffs. Moody hasn't played much in the playoffs. Kuminga hasn't played much in the playoffs. Quentin Post, he's getting a cup of coffee in the NBA, and we see how he's doing. He's struggling a little bit. His teams are hunting him on defense like Denver did to open up the game 15-8, and they went right at Quentin Post. So, yes, you're counting on guys who just haven't been in that situation before, and that's a dangerous proposition because we know in the NBA you need to kind of go through the fire to get to that championship level like the Warriors did, right? Just using them as an example. They go Steph Curry and Draymond Green and Klay, they go in the second round, lose to San Antonio, who had all the experience. Next year, you lose to the Clippers. And no, what do you know? Steve Kerr becomes head coach. You win 67, you win the championship. You have to go get your bumps and bruises in the playoffs, and these youngsters just haven't done it yet. So, yes, it is a lot to count on these guys to be consistent players, and I know we want them to be consistent players. But Pods is in his second year. Moses Moody is in his fourth, but he hasn't really saw playing time, right? Same thing with Kuminga. I know everybody's on Kuminga right now. Moody and Kuminga haven't been afforded the luxury of being on the team that has lost 28 games in a row like Kay Cunningham. They haven't been able to be down in Orlando suffering like Paolo Banchero and Franz Wagner. They're able to play through your mistakes. You come to this organization, and there's Steph, and there's Draymond, there used to be Klay, Jordan Poole, you're like, whoa, it's about banners here. These guys don't know anything about that. Brandon Podziska's playing at Santa Clara in the West Coast Conference, crying out loud. Moody was one and done in Arkansas, and Kuminga was straight basically out of high school after playing a year with the G League Ignite. So, yes, it is a lot to ask for them to be consistent on a night-in and night-out basis, which is why you need Steph to be Superman. You need Jimmy to be that key cog as a second superstar, and Draymond's got to be Draymond. He's got to be the guy that we saw last week against Giannis Antetokounmpo. So it's a lot, Diz, to ask for these role players to be consistent. I know that's what the job entails, but boy, it is wishful thinking to think that, hey, they're going to just make this leap and all of a sudden become championship role players. It doesn't work like that in the NBA.
Bonte, I wasn't bothered by any of these factors, but I wonder your thoughts. Like, take Jimmy Butler on his way into the arena, kind of making a little bit of a shot at Pat Riley. Then he plays poorly. Then after the game, leaves without talking to any of his former Miami teammates. I wasn't bothered by it, but I admit that it was the first time as a Warrior that Jimmy Butler kind of put a bad look, I think, out to the world. What's your take on Jimmy and the entire return to Miami experience?
Yeah, it was tough to really, Mark, to think that, hey, he was unmoved emotionally about returning to Miami. And then you see the video tribute they have for him down there. What do they call it, the Kasai Center now? And he obviously was moved by the video tribute. And he waved to the crowd, and you could tell he felt some emotions about it. He tried to downplay it. But other members of the Warriors was like, hey, we're here for Jimmy, to support for Jimmy. So that told me there, yes, this was a big game. And the way Dan Adebayo came out and said, I've got Jimmy Butler. Put me on Jimmy. I've got Khalil Ware in the back. We're going to dominate. And the way Tyler Hero went about his business, oh, it meant something. And if not shake their hands, yeah, it wasn't the greatest look in the world. I think everybody would get over it. I'm sure members of the Miami Heat were like, hey, we're glad we didn't shake his hand because they feel like he threw them under the bus as a teammate, being in the locker room. And we've been in locker rooms before, albeit not at this level, right? In the high school level, maybe CYO or maybe some JUCO, who knows? But, like, they felt some type of way, I'm sure, about the whole situation because when they came out here for, what was it, January 7th, when they came out in Chase Center, they beat the Warriors on the back end of a back-to-back. I heard rumblings from that camp saying, man, we just want this thing to end. Like, either play with us or don't play with us. And so as a former teammate, I'm sure they had a sour taste in their mouth, and I'm sure they didn't trip that Jimmy didn't shake their hands. I think it would have been big of Jimmy to take the high road, go over there, hey, Tyler, good stuff, man, best of luck. We had some great runs. Bam, great stuff, man, had some great runs. Hey, Coach Spoke, thanks for taking a chance on me. No, it wasn't the best look at all for Jimmy Butler. Now the world is seeing it, and we're seeing all these reports saying, hey, man, I feel embarrassed for Heat fans for cheering for this guy after what he did yesterday, not shaking people's hands. It wasn't the best look for Jimmy Butler, and that's what people were warning. Like, Ira Winderman, well, whatever his name is, from Miami, he covers the Heat. He covered him for like 30-plus years. He was basically saying, hey, look, this is the honeymoon phase, but just wait. Just wait and just wait. And so it's going to be interesting to see how Jimmy responds to what happened in South Beach last night.
I'm less concerned by the pre and the post game as I am with the in game. And for the first time, it felt like Jimmy was not up to the measurement of what was needed. And he said before, you know, when it's a big game, I'll be there and I'll turn it on when it's time. And it felt like, you know, you got 10 more of these games, 11 going into last night. Felt like last night would have been the time. But just basketball wise, Bonte, I know the matchup was rough, but what did you see from Jimmy as far as overall assertiveness?
Well, I think, you know, we've been talking about this and for a while now. You go back to the Orlando game when Steph scored 56. What Orlando did in that game was they threw Jonathan Isaac and Paolo Banchero on Jimmy Butler. And I think you're going to see more of this. Aaron Gordon, for example, for Denver. You get a bigger guy who has the size and athleticism. They're going to say, you know what? We know Jimmy Butler loves to operate on the block, mid-post. Let's take that away. We can guard him one-on-one with a bigger guy who's just as athletic. Because Jimmy Butler, as great as he's been for the Golden State Warriors, what are they now, 16-4 when he plays? He doesn't blow by guys with like just a quick first step, athleticism. He kind of bullies his way into the paint, and he gets to the free throw line. But if you throw these bigger guys on him, like Bam, like Paolo Banchero, like Aaron Gordon, Scotty Barnes for Toronto, all of a sudden you can play him one-on-one, and you can negate his free throw shooting, saying, hey, look, let's not put him on the free throw line. Let's make the Warriors work for jump shots here. You could take away some of that spacing. So it'll be an adjustment again. No Stephen Curry. Stephen Curry changes everything with the spacing that he creates once he crosses half court where teams are double-teaming him and putting 10 eyes on him and he's bombing from 30 feet away. He will be better. But it's going to be interesting in the Western Conference where you have the Clippers now ascending and they have Kawhi Leonard rolling. And you have the Lakers rolling. And you have Denver starting to get healthy. And all of a sudden, Oklahoma City has guys like Lou Dort and Jalen Williams who could guard guys down there on the block. It's going to be very interesting to see how this plays out with Jimmy Butler. And I'll add this to it. It wouldn't shock me if the Warriors start shopping him in the offseason. Now, I'm maybe getting ahead of myself here. But what we know about the Warriors right now, Mark and Dibs, they are big game hunting. They're in on every single name and calling teams to try to get that other superstar. So we'll see how long this marriage lasts. I don't think, like, they love everything about Jimmy, and Jimmy's been a good soldier for the Warriors so far. But let's just see how the playoffs end up. Let's just see how far the Warriors go, and let's see what happens with some of these other teams in the league that may bow out early on in the NBA playoffs. Then we may have an entirely different conversation come all season.
Bonte Hill, hey, man, be straight with us. Do you miss it?
Sometimes, and then I get tweets about JK, and I hear Shaq, you know, talking all day about JK. I said, yeah, I don't miss that. Brock Purdy, you know, oh, Brock Purdy, he's going to get this and that. But I'm like, I don't care. I'm good where I'm at right now. I'll see you guys soon, though. I get enough of my fix, Mark. Let me say that.
Brother, I thought it was the most hilarious report we saw all year today from Jordan Schultz, who I like. Jordan has been on this show multiple times, but his earth-shattering report today that both sides are working on an agreement and plan to have it in place by the season. I'm like, gee, you
think?
Right, like, and the sun is intending to come out tomorrow as well. Thanks, I got that.
No, it's ridiculous, man. But I will say, I thought, you know, I was tripped out by a little birdie, right? I'm not sure Brock Purdy has all the leverage in the world. What if he does threaten the Niners saying, hey, if I don't get a contract, I'm not coming to camp, which I subscribe to. I was on the airway saying, hey, if Brock Purdy doesn't have a new contract, do not go to camp. But Mac Jones is in town. And we know Shanahan. And Shanahan, he's weird with quarterbacks. I'll just put it lightly there.
Yeah.
Purdy, if I'm Purdy's camp, I would try to get that deal done in a hurry. In a hurry. Not saying that Purdy's not the guy, but I do think there's some reservation from the 49ers side of things now, especially after the way last season ended with the arm injury and everything. But, Mark, to your point, I think Matt DeHegan misses me more. He shouldn't be all these old clips of me on the roast and Xavier McDaniel. It's like he's trying to lure me back in. Oh, look at this. Look at this. Look. Look at this clip. Hey, Willard or Dibs, call Bonte during the 4 o'clock hours. We know we don't have meters during that hour, but you know what? Get him on. Look. Maybe he misses it. Maybe he doesn't. So I think Matt DeHegan misses me more than anybody at that station, and maybe more than I love doing 20 hours a week.
Yeah, you're getting up at 4:30 is the other piece that you're leaving out.
Yeah, you lost me. We don't have any meters in the 4 o'clock hour. We're doing fine.
Yeah,
we're doing fine.
I'm
but
kidding,
we no,
I'm
yeah.
Kidding. I'm kidding.
Hey man,
I will tell you. Hold on, real quick, guys. Tesla's a beast in the morning. Two ladies in the morning, man. And maybe I'm kind of. Man, Shashi, got a spot for me up there in the morning? Maybe can I come in at 8 o'clock?
Yeah.
It's a nightmare getting these kids ready for school.
Dude, now that you're doing daddy duty, trust me. Because my two boys are in their 20s, and I missed that whole thing. And now I got baby girl, and I'm on morning duty, and I'm doing breakfast and making the lunch and all the rest of it. I may have to step in with the two Joes in the morning.
Bonte, we told you that week that we switched time slots, we thought it was a damn vacation.
Oh, yeah.
We were like, this is incredible. But, you know.
Oh.
only for God. Only for 1 week, though.
True that.
It was only for
only
1 week.
Only for 1 week. Yeah. Trust me, 10 to 2 was fun that week.
God.
I knew, like, damn,
10 to 2.
4:30.
Yeah.
7:30, 4:30. I mean, come on. I tried to get Lucas Alexander to work the mornings. He never showed up. He showed up at like 8:30. I'm like, must be nice. Damn, you can watch some late-night TV, late-night college football.
Just so you know, Bonte, Lucas just gave you an Iguodala on that one. He caught a stray, and he just put his palms up on you on that one.
No, I'm sorry. Yeah, fight on, fight on. Shout out to G.
Lockett. Yeah, we talked about that.
No doubt. All right, Bonte, be good, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Willard did. Take it easy, guys.
Thank you, Bonte.
There he goes. Bonte Hill, Friday morning, 9 o'clock. Yeah,
couple of off days for him. I'm sure he's doing his NBC Sports Bay Area podcast and doing some other stuff, but, you know, not getting up at 4:30.
He looks 23 years old. I saw him last week. He looks 23 years old.
Well, and you know that morning shift? You did it for a long time. I did it for 15 or 20 years, and that thing will eat at you.
Dude, there's nothing better in life than being done with work at 10 a.m., the whole world is open up to you.
True.
The problem is 11:30 arrives, you have one bite to eat, and then you find yourself wherever you were, you wake up at 2:30 in a cold sweat, having no idea how the hell you even passed out and fell asleep.
Yeah, and what day is it?
Oh my God.
All that stuff. That's
wild.
Sunday night at 7 o'clock, and or maybe it's at 6 when 60 Minutes comes on, it hits you that... It's like,
I
gotta go to bed. I think it's at 6.
60 Minutes. Yeah. No, I'm
Leslie Stahl.
Nobody,
oh, man,
no,
it's bedtime.
I don't want anybody to feel bad for somebody who gets to do what we do
for
a living.
Never.
But the hardest thing if you do a morning is how the hell do you watch the games?
Yeah.
The games are going to 10, 11 at night, and you gotta be somewhere at 6, you know, 5, let's be real, 4:30, 5 o'clock the next morning?
Yeah.
That's a good question.
Yeah, thank you, Tim.
Well, you go
thank
one you. Eye for the first half, and you record it, and you get up, and you quickly scroll through, and, oh, they're going to lose by 24? All right, I'll just pick some highlights.
Just buy the Costco size of Excedrin.
Yeah.
That's the only advice I got. Buy the Costco size of Excedrin, and then enjoy all of the parking that's open at malls at 10 a.m. There's good and bad.
Yeah. Bonte did. Anyway. He calmed the nerves a little bit, especially just if you start to look at this from 20,000 feet.
I don't know.
It really does. I don't know. I'm not going to say it all comes down to Steph, but the more I've been looking at all the numbers, and here's one for you. Steph this year shooting 39.4 from three. The rest of the team, 35.3.
Well, okay.
In other words, without Steph, they're like 23rd in the league in three-point percentage.
You know I'm with you on this. Yes, at the end of the day, if you told me I'm only allowed one sentence on last night's game, and you have to pick between all the things that you want to say, that would be my sentence.
They didn't have Steph Curry.
Steph didn't play. That would be my sentence. Here's the problem, though. The bottom line is at the end of the year, the standings come out, and you don't get any stipulations for when your star missed. And so now there's 10 games left, and yes, in 2 hours and 20 minutes, they might be in the play-in tournament. That's a real reality. The Clippers are favored to win in New York tonight, and if they do, then the Warriors are into the 7th seed. And you do get a game in New Orleans Friday, and you do get a game Sunday in San Antonio, and then take a look at what you get. And explain to me how the Warriors are, whether they've got Steph or whatever, like, unless you have your fastball, how are you navigating the 5-game stretch that happens next? Okay? Tuesday at Memphis. Thursday at the Lakers. Get your butt home to host Denver the very next night on a Friday. Sunday, Houston is here. Get on a plane. Go to Phoenix, who is at least now playing passable basketball.
Sure.
Dangerous. That's your 5-game stretch. And
all five of them are playoff or play-in, I believe.
Absolutely. Only one of them is play-in, which is Phoenix at 10. The rest of them are all top 6 seeds in the West. And by the way, do you know through this whole Jimmy Butler period, do you know how many top 6 seeds in the West the Warriors have defeated during that window? You know the answer?
Is it just one?
That is accurate. It is the win in Houston the night before the All-Star break.
Wow.
That's it. That is it. Now, they haven't had a whole lot of opportunities, but that's sort of the point. That's the point. You know, Bonte made that comment about, well, who have they beat and were they full strength? I looked through, like, do you consider Houston full strength that night? Because they started full strength, and then they rested dudes in the second half of that game.
Yeah.
You beat the Knicks.
VanVleet didn't play in that game.
That's right. That's true. And you beat New York twice. Once without Brunson, once without Cat.
Yep.
You beat Milwaukee. They were full strength when you weren't. You did that.
Yep.
And outside,
and you lost to Denver when they weren't full strength, you were.
Yes, and you beat Detroit, and they were full strength.
Right.
And you were.
And you have to continue to remind people that that's a good win.
That's a very good win.
Best defense since the All-Star break.
But Bucks didn't have Bobby Portis, by the way.
Okay, they haven't had Bobby Portis for like a month and a half. But
not full strength.
Anyway.
He's an important piece for him.
Anyway, point being is next week the Warriors have a really, really tough road. And they have got to be totally whole if they're going to have and so here we are. Here we are. That's why I was saying at the beginning of the week, you need to win these games. And they didn't win these games.
No, a split would have been fine. Considering,
yes, I agree with you. I agree with you.
What you're facing.
All right. So here's the deal. Steph being out, does it calm your nerves or does that not do it right now? And we've got an entire 5 o'clock hour for nothing but you. Let's go, Warrior fans. Let's take your calls. What is bugging you? What is bothering you right now? Get it off your chest about Warrior basketball. It's all your calls the rest of the way. 888-957-9570. Warriors Wednesday brought to you by Freedman's Appliance. Come see the full selection of in-stock luxury appliances and live working vignettes. Visit Freedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill today. Also brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. All your calls rest of the way on Willard and Dips. This is from a genuine place. I want to know what Giants fans think. Apparently, they have new
city. I'm a Giants fan.
Yeah, they got new City Connect jerseys.
Oh.
So them creamsicles are gone. And
that's too bad.
Yeah, now they've... That's too bad. Most people were happy that they were gone.
I kind of liked them.
I didn't mind them, and they won when they used them. But anyway, new City Connect jerseys, and the pictures are out. You're grimacing.
Well, I'm looking at it right now. It's more of a nose scrunch, but go ahead.
Okay. Anyway, I just put it on my Instagram story. MT Willard, I would love Giants fans to know what you think. And I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, and I'm going to weigh in first. I'm not going to comment here. I'll wait for Christy to repost your post with hearts, and then you'll know I heart you more. And then then I'll turn off the damn phone.
Look!
Just to describe it,
she's pretty great. What do you want?
She's wonderful. It's kind of a dark gray base with some swirly design, an orange number, and a cursive Giants that is
kind of cursive. It looks a little bit more. I would have described it more almost like a graffiti style.
It's graffiti, but it's cursive. Like, these are cursive letters, the S and.
Yeah, the S is.
And the letters are connected. City Connect, I get it. Purple and orange around the outside. Maybe it's the purple that's bugging me.
See that, YouTube? I'm putting it up on YouTube.
And I don't want to be the dismisser because I've been labeled that, and labels disable, as we all know.
You have.
But if I have to use a thumb on this, it's thumbs down. I don't like it. I don't yike it. Yes, Myla, I don't yike it either.
Well, again, same thing I said about the first City Connects. Do they win in them?
They did.
Okay.
All they did was win. So then you got rid of them?
Then they're great. They're great. That's all I want. You can wear whatever the hell you want.
Yes.
You wear shorts out there for all I care if you win the baseball game.
And I'm not like Shasky and Guru. They're definitely aficionados of uniforms. They're both always dialed in.
Yep.
I'm not that person. I see this as a classic cash grab by organizations. And this is what you do. You come up with a new uniform and people will buy it. And the Warriors have been great at that. They have the slate.
You know me. I will be the dismisser when it comes to people being accused of cash grabbing. That's what businesses do.
Exactly.
They put a product out in the hopes that people will buy it. I have no issue with that whatsoever.
I mean, nor do I.
Yeah.
And, you know, what am I going to be doing here at the next break? I'm going to be telling you about AbundantLifeWeightLoss.com.
Plus, tomorrow we're getting paid, and I'm fine with it. Like, I probably wouldn't, I would not be here without it.
Pretty much.
Kind of a cash grab.
And so everything is a cash grab. I get it. But the whole like alternate uniforms and the rest of it, it's become a good business.
Yeah.
It's a good business move. Yeah. I'm not going to hate on it, but this one will be one that I don't purchase.
Okay. And that's, it's just the season starting tomorrow. And I'd love to hear what people think with regard to how those look. So you can go check it out, comment. I'd love to know.
MT Willard. And I'll just add this final piece before we pivot.
Pivot?
The fact that the picture that's put out is number 51, Jung-Hoo Lee.
Jung-Hoo Lee.
For me, is very, very significant. Like, he is, he's not the face of the franchise, but he's one of them.
He's been the center of their marketing efforts since arriving.
And it, unfortunately, he got hurt in, May last year?
Right,
but so that derailed it?
But I think that they gathered that pretty quickly there was a lot of chatter, there was chanting in the stands, like he had some sort of a connection. If the same thing happens with Willy Adames, I think that you're going to, you know, again, I think it was also the fact that Jung-Hoo signed for 6 years.
Yeah, agreed.
So the marketing was like, let's grab onto that. And now you've got Chapman and Adames who have long-term deals as well. So maybe you'll see a little bit more of that. I don't know.
And Logan Webb, who truly is kind of the face, like he's maybe the best player out. Chapman, sure, and Adames could be, but Logan's been a mainstay and the ace of the rotation and all the rest of it. So you don't usually feature a pitcher, though, as your face of the franchise?
Usually not. Yeah, they're not out there enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt. Anyway, would love to get your comments on that. Now, back to the quick aside story, because I do believe this leads to Warrior basketball. What I hear a lot is that people think the Warriors put forth a bad effort. Bad effort. You've talked about their defense. Defense is effort. It's focus. We hear, oh, we weren't ready to play. Or we get off to a bad start. Everything sort of falls back to effort. And what it really falls into, unfortunately, especially in the last 3 weeks, is this push-pull conversation about Jonathan Kuminga. And I actually think that this subject matter goes to him as well. So forget your Jonathan take about he's a future all-star or you don't see it. Forget that. Tuck it away. Don't want to do that. Don't want to do that. But I do want to dive into, for example, the fact that he played 25 minutes last night and got 2 rebounds. Here's my sort of spinoff on this. I've had a moment of, I guess, a little bit of pride. They're fleeting as a parent. But it has been the start of the Little League Baseball season, and young Jude has moved up to the majors level where dudes are starting to sling it a little bit now. Ball's coming in pretty hot, and it's his first year there, and Jude, like probably half of the players in the league, a little bit of a stepping in the bucket issue. There's a little fear there. I had the same thing when I got to majors in Little League at age 11 or 12.
Ben Igo.
Exactly.
He can throw it now.
And he split the shoulder blades of my best friend who was batting leadoff and I was batting second, and I was terrified of the ball for the rest of the year. It happens. It's very hard to get over. So I saw it in Jude's first Little League game this year. I saw it. He bailed, and he saw 9 pitches, and he watched them all. He got 1 strikeout and 1 walk. But that's what kids do. They hope for a walk. So we did a drill. He said, Jude, hop into the car. We're going down to the ball yard on the weekend. Dad got on the mound. I gave him all of his hitting gear. He said, here's what we're doing. I don't care where the ball is. Swing at it. I don't care. Outside, high, low, at you. Swing at the ball. And oddly, even when you do that, they don't swing at all.
Of course. Of course. But like, the message was delivered.
The message was delivered. So, and then he started to, and it was a cold day, so he got a few of those, like, right off the end of the bat. Ow! Damn it! Right? The vibration sensation.
Yep.
Anyway, bottom line is,
cha-ching!
Very next game, he goes out there, goes 2 for 3 with a ground out. He swung the bat on every single at-bat. I think he's only been called out on strikes once since then. That was the umpire's fault. That's okay.
Oh, here we go.
No, it was. It was like ridiculously low and outside.
But umpire was born in 2011.
Exactly. Which, anyhow. You know, so different subject, different
save
day.
Save it for Friday.
Bottom line is that what I think people want the Warriors to look like, I think they want them to heed that call. So if what you want is, this is what you focus on, nothing but this, swing the bat. And then he did. Warriors, Kuminga, Pods, whoever. Just come out with your butt on fire. Like, come out with your butt on fire. I don't care if all the shots go in, but can you guys just look like you are ferociously competing to stay out of the play-in tournament? Because right now, my biggest concern is that the press conferences sound more intense than the games look. That's what's bugging me about the Warriors. Their press conferences, well, we have to stay out of the play-in. And we have, I mean, it is all systems go. And we cannot have another effort like we did last night. We cannot do that. And then you come out and people are like, I have 2 points at halftime.
Like, the starters had 10 combined in the first half.
Everybody had 2 points. All five of them.
Right.
Like, what is
that?
Why can't you look like your press conferences sound? That's my thing.
It's a fair point. And there are lots to chew on, and I'll start with the second point first, and I'll take your first point second, because the numbers would tell you that it's been all your problem. They are 18th in the league in first quarter point differential. They're a negative 0.7 for the year, which is 18th, which is bottom half. And you think, huh, what does that really mean? Well, last year, you were 9th in first quarter point differential with a 0.8. So you're 1.5 points worse per first quarter this year. And I look at these last three games where you're a minus 6.7, including the Atlanta game where you lost it in the first quarter. And Bonte just said that Chris Mullin talks about how it's a first quarter league. And I kind of struck me like, I thought it was a fourth quarter league, but if your first quarter is so bad,
that's the tone.
The Atlanta game is a great example.
Yep.
You were chasing it the whole way. You never got back. Jonathan Kuminga. I love Kuminga. I think he's got a bright future. And, you know, whether or not he can score at all three levels, or he's a bucket getter or finisher, that's not what this is about. It's about what you said first, Mark, the rebounds. And last night he had 2 rebounds. He had 2 rebounds in 25 minutes of basketball. The team got out-rebounded. He came up with a grand total of 2. And just looking at his stats of rebounds per 36 minutes played. Now, I know not everybody plays 36. Almost nobody plays 36.
Right.
But for every 36 minutes he plays, he gets 6.5 rebounds, which puts him 15th among anybody who's played on the Warriors this year. He's behind Jackson Rowe, Yuri Collins, Pat Spencer
gets more rebounds per
36.
No. Point taken. Those are super small samples, but I bet
Guy Santos is 4th.
Yep. Keep going.
You know, Reese Beekman, which is, you know, let's take all those guys out. Kevon and TJD, of course, per 36, but other names like, you know, D'Anthony Melton, he's barely ahead of what Melton was doing. Kuminga is 6'7" and the best jumper on the team, and you get 2 rebounds.
Where's Pods on that list?
Pods is 11th. He's getting 6.8 rebounds.
Okay.
This is per 36.
Right. So, but he's ahead of Kuminga.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Where's Gary Payton?
GP2 is 9th.
Okay. So he's
7.2. He's
so
also ahead of Kuminga.
Jonathan Kuminga. Okay.
He's only ahead of Buddy Hield,
sure.
Curry and Moses among current Warriors. And Moses is out on the perimeter a lot,
I don't know what to do with that. That is a very, very damning stat. And again, this is not, I do not want to debate the merits of Jonathan Kuminga. I want to focus this all the way in. And it's not Kuminga that I even want to talk about. It's all of the guys. It's like the Warriors at times, not a lot, especially after Jimmy Butler arrived. Let's not forget, they've played very good basketball since Jimmy Butler arrived. But when the Warriors are not at their best, I do feel like they turn into teenagers. Which is to say, I mean, I think Steve Kerr a lot rings the same bell over and over and over again, and they just don't do it. So I don't even need your stats to show up. I need you to look like you're trying to get them. That's what I want. I want Jonathan Kuminga to look like he's trying to get a rebound.
Right.
I want last night Jimmy Butler to look like he's trying, period. You know what I mean? I want Draymond Green to be somebody who is threatening you at three levels all the time. Like, the assist numbers need to be there. Like, look for your shot sometimes. Obviously, rebound the basketball, be amazing on defense. And when you say, oh, well, we can't do that for four quarters for 82 games, well, then that's where I throw up the red flag. That's why I go, that's why I'm skeptical. I don't understand why at this moment of the season, it doesn't look like the Warriors' ass is on fire. That's my question.
And that's,
I don't even care if you win. I don't even care if it works. Can you look like Guy Santos? All of you. Can you just look like Guy for one night? Ass on fire, hair flying, diving, freaking out, looking like you want the sixth seed. That's it.
Especially after a couple of nights off.
Yes.
I'm totally with you, and that's really mainly what's bugging me. And all the cuts that Grandy's been playing from Tim Roy, who does play-by-play, but he also does the analyst work on the road because he's going solo. And, you know, all the cuts, you can hear Tim, and not frustration in his voice per se, because he's not a coach or a player, but, yeah, he's kind of frustrated watching it, where the one he's like, yeah, they doubled Davion Mitchell, and you leave Tyler Hero alone on the three-point line. Davion Mitchell will never be confused with an offensive threat. Tremendous defensive player out of Baylor, which is why he still has a job. But the Warriors just jump in and double him, and Tyler Hero just kind of drifts to the top of the circle, kaboo, and, you know, knocks down a three. It just, not only the physical errors, but the mental errors that they seem to be continually making, and that's where you get frustrated.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app, and now coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios.